ever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. We did talk last week about letting God into your pain. Amen? And the cool part is if God comes in, the pain will leave. Thank you for your enthusiasm. But if God comes in, the pain will leave. It doesn't mean, look at this, it doesn't mean that you won't have a scar to look at. Right? Because that becomes part of who you are. I have had a couple of operations in my life, and the scarring is very minimal, but I've known people who've, you know, had scars where the scars from ear to ear, right? And so they get to look at it every day. The pain might be resolved, but the scar is still there. But the scar is actually a trophy of victory. Come on. It's a trophy of victory. Come on, look what God has done. Look what He's done in my life. And so this morning I want to kind of go to the next phase of, do you know that God, if God is with you, everything's going to be all right? I said, if God is with you, everything's going to be all right. Come on, you got to get to that place. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. Glory to God. If we just really believe that, then it's kind of like, come on, bring it on. Come on, if God is with me, bring it on. There's no mountain too high. And listen, here's where we get in trouble is when we start talking to ourselves about ourselves. Without God, what am I going to do? How am I going to do? Look, we have to get up in the morning with the attitude, God's with me today. Amen. Step by step, moment by moment, He's going to show me how to get through what I need to go through. Amen. And I'm not saying it's all going to be peachy cream and, you know, just no trouble. But I don't want to sing, I've got trouble. I want to sing, I got Jesus. Come on, say that again. I got Jesus. Hallelujah. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. The last chapter in the book of Matthew. It's very interesting when we look at this. In verse 17, it said, and when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Come on. How is that even possible? He who was crucified on the cross. Now, just let me just say it this way, and I'll not be as graphic as I could be, but you know, when He went through the passion, when He went through the whipping, when He went through the crucifixion, He wasn't as pretty as any picture you've seen of Him on the cross. He was tore up from the floor up. Right? And people saw them. People testified of that. Usually they didn't, watch this, they didn't whip somebody and crucify them. You know why? Because usually one was enough. But Jesus took both. But watch this. This is really important to see. They came and He's standing with them and He's in the midst of them, but He had to be healed. Right? He had to be healed. I'm not saying the scars weren't there. But He had to be healed. But they're seeing Him. They knew of His condition before. They're seeing, but some doubted. Is God with you? Yes. But some doubt. Right? We know. We've been filled with the Holy Spirit. We know that we were born again. His Spirit came to dwell on the inside of us, but yet some doubt. God is here today. His presence is here today. There's some doubt. some doubt. And when I say some, I mean all of us. At one time or another, there's doubt. We're going, okay, God, what's going on? But watch this. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. These folks were aware of his authority. The disciples were aware of his authority. Why do I say that? Because it's the same who went out casting out devils, healing the sick. You know, I mean, it was amazing. They came back, man, even devils are subject to us in your name. And they were invoking the authority that he gave them with a spoken word. But now he's saying, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. What does that mean? That means the devil doesn't have authority. Jesus took the authority. Right? He doesn't have the authority. Jesus took the authority. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. And then he said, go ye therefore. That's kind of an interesting transition. He said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore into all the earth. Everybody say, go. There is the first command that I think God wants for us is to go. But go into where? It's interesting. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go and make disciples. And what's a disciple? Not necessarily. A disciple is a disciplined follower. It's not just a follow. I'm going to follow when it's convenient. I'm going to follow when it makes sense. No, a disciple is one who says, I'm all in. I'm not only all in, but I am going to follow the teaching to the letter. You remember the movie The Karate Kid? Walks on, walks off. Walks on, walks off. And all of these things, he's out there polishing the car. Walks on, walks off. What was he doing? He was discipling him into the basics of what he needed to do. So that when somebody came at him, right? And so what I'm saying is we have to, before we go, and as we're going, he wants disciples to go. And what is a disciple? A disciple is one who follows. Now go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. How many would like to have hung with Jesus for those 40 days after his resurrection, when he was just out and about and doing his thing and talking to them? It's been pretty cool. Verse 4 says, chapter 1, verse 4 says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. I thought he said to go. But now he's saying, don't go yet. Don't go yet. Watch this. He's not to depart from, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now watch this. We have different forms of baptism, you know, depending on what group you're from and whatever, and I think they're all acceptable, actually. But the inference is total immersion. Totally covered, totally saturated. I was skiing once, and I decided to go barefoot. I was a pretty good skier. I said, you know, barefoot. And they said, you know, you have to be going pretty fast when you go barefoot. So I had a boat that was pulling me that would do 55 miles an hour. And I drug one foot, and I said, I'm ready for this, right? I kicked the ski off and went, bam! And I was fully immersed into the water for a very long time. Right? I finally came up, obviously. Right? And those were back in the days when we didn't have vests, we just had those little ski belts on. I've taken falls that have torn the ski belts off, but anyway, the point is, we need to be fully immersed. We need to take the plunge that goes, I'm all in. See, he said, go, but wait. And what I'm suggesting to you this morning is that we do not wait in our daily lives on the Holy Spirit as we should. See, what I'm saying is that God wants to heal you. God wants to give you answers, but we get up and go without really taking Him at His word. Because what did He say? He said He'd lead you. He said He'd guide you. Now watch this. In John chapter 16, it says that when the Comforter is come, He'll lead you into all truth. And Jesus said in John chapter 8 that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So He was talking about pain that's hidden in our hearts, but we can't be free of the pain until we come into communion with the truth. But not the truth as you know it. Not the truth as I know it. Why? Because God has to get us to the place where our hearts are open to see our responsibility in the truth, and then allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us so that He can lead us to the way out of the situation. Right? He'll do it. I said He'll do it. And watch this, the fruit of being a disciple of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's just go there and go to Galatians chapter 5, the book of Galatians, and chapter 5. I'm talking about being a disciple of God, and the way that God leads us and guides us today is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's been given to everybody who believes. Right? I believe there's a subsequent event that's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where we receive our prayer language, and we'll talk about that just a little bit, but that's not what I'm referencing necessarily. I'm talking about being a disciple or a disciplined follower who's aware that the Holy Spirit is on the inside of him. And watch this. If we'll live our lives out with our relationship with the Holy Spirit, I wish, now this is just me, but I wish the Holy Spirit would do it for me. You're right. I just wish He'd do it for me so I could get out of the way. And I could get out of doing it. Right? I mean, honestly. But that's not the way it's set up. Why? Because God wants free will moral agents to do what He asked them to do. That's what He's talking about when He talks about disciples. By the way, the truth will not set you free. It's the truth that you know, that you're aware of, and it's the truth that you yield to. Whew, glory to God. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Look at verse 22, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, well, what's the fruit? The fruit is the product of a tree that has matured, gone through the seasons of life, or the seasons of its life, and come to the place where there are leaves out there, there's buds, and finally there's fruit. You ever seen a fruit tree that doesn't give fruit? I have. We've had fruit trees and different trees that said, listen, it's going to take 3 years for it to bear any fruit. So the first year, no fruit. Second year, no fruit. Third year, wait a minute, there's a bud on there. And finally you get some cherries or apples or whatever they are. See, we need to spend time with the Holy Spirit, being disciplined in the fact that He's in our lives, and waiting on Him so that we can have the fruit that our relationship with Him will give us. Now, look at this and just see if this doesn't sound like a good day. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control. And against such there is no law. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desire. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Here's the whole point. If the Holy Spirit has been given to us, we need to disciple ourselves to walk with Him. To walk with Him. And sometimes it takes time to get us to the place where we can actually have access to Him 24/7. It's not that He's not available. It's just that we have too much else going on in order to hear. Let's go back to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. How many want some results? Right? How many are tired of the same thing year after year, month after month? It's like, again, you've all heard the definition of insanity. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Right? We're not going to get different results unless we do our part in what God has done. He's given us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us. I want the love, the joy, the peace. I want all of that, right? I want the gentleness. And man, I want the self-control. Right? But you can't control yourself by yourself. Thank you. I said you can't control yourself by yourself. Why? Because your flesh will want what it wants and work to get what it wants no matter what the cost is, no matter who it hurts, no matter what goes on. Earlier in Galatians, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. If you want to be a disciple and have the fruit of the Spirit, you have to die to yourself. What does that mean? Well, it means die to yourself. I don't want to pray anyway. I don't want to worship anyway. I don't want to love them anyway. Right? I don't want to forgive them. I'm a disciple, so I'm going to do it anyway. Jesus taught the parable of the sower, and when he was through in verse 9, he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's always fascinated me. And I've said this to you before, because everybody that heard him say that parable had the paddles on the outside of their head. Right? But it doesn't mean all of them heard what he said. But look at this in verse 13. He said, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables?" In other words, this parable is the door to understanding everything that I tell you. Everything that I tell you. And he goes on to say, the sower sows the word. Everybody say the word. What's the word? It's Jesus, but what are you holding in your hand? What's on your phone right now? Right? What's in your lap right now? It's the word. Now, Jesus said, I'm going to send another comforter who's going to be just like me. So if Jesus sowed the word, the Holy Spirit, as you disciple yourself to be with him, is going to sow the word. Come on. So there has to be an expectation on the inside of us. You shouldn't pick up the Bible without saying, oh, Holy Spirit, we're going to have an adventure today. Come on. Holy Spirit, I'm coming to you. I don't know what I'm going to read, and I don't have to feel anything. I don't have to see anything, but I know that I know that I know that when I'm reading this word, there's something that's going to be sown. It's amazing to me, and I am definitely not a farmer, and just for record, I don't want to be one. But what I've seen is there's a lot of seeds put in the ground, and there's not as many plants as those seeds. And then I've found that you can't just plant seeds anywhere and expect them to grow. Right? And you can't even put plants in certain ground and expect them to grow. And then once you've planted the seed, there's something that has to be done with the seed. Right? So the seed is there, but the seed doesn't necessarily entertain plant growth or harvest from the seed. So if I want potatoes in the fall, I need to make sure that I understand what it takes to get the potato from the little cutling to the mound of potatoes that I can get. Right? So watch this. And he's explained, this is the main thing. This is the main one. If you understand this, you've got hope to understand other things. He said, and these are the ones that are sown by the wayside where there's no word, where the word is sown. But when they hear it, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Sown in their hearts. Sown in your heart. Sown in your heart. What is the heart? Well, I think it's a little complicated, and it's not as easy as people say. You know, some people would say, well, the heart and the spirit are synonymous. Well, that can be true, but it's not totally true. Because I believe the heart is where the center of who you are. Everything that you makes up you is in your heart. So your mind, your soul, your will, your emotions, it's all part of that heart. So the word can be sown into your mind. It can be sown into your spirit. It can be sown, come on, into your ears. But that doesn't mean that A, you're going to hear it, or that it's going to produce anything. Because where is your heart at? See, if you're not a heart to be a disciple, to be discipled, you know what? Come on. We've all had kids. And if you just have kids and you don't do anything with the kids, you know what they're going to become? Monsters. You have to discipline them, not punish, but discipline them to get on the road where they need to go. And even then, you know, even then they have choices, right? So watch this. We need to take ourselves and say, look at self, you're going to be disciplined to the Word. You're going to be a disciple of what the Holy Spirit says and not just a hearer. Come on. And I'm going to let the Word in and to work. Verse 16, and likewise, these are ones that are sown on stony ground. When they hear the Word, immediately receive it with gladness, but they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time, and afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the Word's sake, immediately they stumble. In other words, I'm in it for a minute. I'm in it for a minute. No, a seed must have ground that is willing to endure whatever is necessary for it to produce a harvest. Right? Stony ground, what does that mean? That means that the soil hasn't been properly prepared for the seed. Watch this. We could go out right out here, and this is kind of some rocky ground, and we could get the rototiller, beat ourselves to death as we go over it, and say, well, I've rototilled the ground, I can just plant some seed. Not so much, right? Because we have to take that ground that's been plowed up and look for the rocks to get them out of the way, right? So that the roots will be unencumbered when they stretch out into the ground. So it's kind of like within our relationship with the Holy Spirit and Him revealing the Word to us, the first place that we have to look at is, Lord, here's my heart. I love this. David said this. He said, Lord, show me my heart. Isn't that something? Show me my heart. Well, you don't know your heart? No, he didn't. Neither do you. If we're going to be disciples, we have to be open to the Holy Spirit exposing the truth to us so that we can really see what's in our heart. But he never does it. Watch this. The Holy Spirit never does it to point out how bad you are. The Holy Spirit does it to get the rocks out so that he can put in you how good he has made you to be. Come on, is it a hard thing? I mean, it can be difficult, but the fruit is really good. The fruit is really good. Come on. Hallelujah. Have you ever tasted the difference of a tomato from the store? Right? That you can go out, we go down to Albertson's right now, buy a box of tomatoes, eat them and slice them. The difference from one that is grown from organic soil that you've nurtured all summer long, and when you take a bite of that, it tastes like candy. Right? It's so different. Why? It's because the soil's been prepared differently. The seed could have been the same, but the soil is different. And watch it. We are responsible for our hearts, but we're not alone in fixing it. Right? That's the Holy Spirit's job, is to expose our hearts, but also to help us get our hearts where the seed will be produced. Come on. Look at that, verse 17, and they have no root in themselves. A disciple is one who will create some roots. In other words, it's like this little thing that we have and what we did last. Why do we do that? We're sowing seed. Well, it didn't do much for me last year. Nothing wrong with the seed. Hello? Nothing wrong with the seed. And why do we say it out loud? Because the word is planted by the hearing. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The word is planted by the hearing. And you know the voice that you trust the most? Yours. That's why. Trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely to Him to guide you, and He will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with Him, and whatever you do, He will lead you wherever you go. So what am I doing? I'm not only, watch this, I'm not only planting the seed, I'm tilling the ground. Because when the seed goes there and I see it and I'm rooting stuff up and there's a stone that goes, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, excuse me, I need to get that rock out because this is the seed that I'm planting in my heart. And heart, you got to line up with the seed. Amen. Are you listening to what I'm saying? See, if we want to have different, you know, in 2020, you know, you've heard all the slogans, you know, I'm going to be great in 2008, you know, things are going to be fine in 2009, you know, all of those things, things aren't going to be any different in your life in 2020 than they were in 2019 unless you do something different. You see, He said to go, but you have to wait. And waiting on the Lord is not a passive thing. A preacher called another preacher and said to him, you know, Brother George, what are you doing? George was his name. Brother George, what are you doing? He said, ah, Brother Joe, I'm just waiting on the Lord. And Brother Joe said, you're not waiting on the Lord. The Lord's waiting on you, and hung up the phone. In other words, there's action to waiting. What does that look like? It's not, I've got to make it happen, but I need to constantly, because life will pull me away from, I have to disciple myself into the exercise of waiting on Him. How many have ever thought, you know, I'm going to read my Bible more? And then not done it. You know, no hands went up. That's good. But it's been my occasion, right? Why is that? It's because you haven't fully discipled yourself to that commitment. Right? When you fully disciple yourself to a commitment, then nothing will keep you from that commitment. It becomes a priority to you. See, if you want to get the rocks out, you've got to prioritize getting the word in. Again, we're talking about God taking that pain and walking us through that pain to where we can be free from the pain. Joyce Myers, have you ever seen her testimony of what she went through as a kid? I'm not going to go into it. It's her story, right? But what she said, and watch this, didn't take a meeting, you know, where she was at a meeting, somebody laid hands on her and she was completely free. It took years and years and years and years of her being a disciple of the Word and quoting the Word over herself. But she said this, and the abuse that she went through was horrific. Horrific. Nobody should ever have had to gone through that. And we've all gone through stuff. But she said at the end of her testimony, I don't thank God for going through it, but I thank God I went through it. I mean, you kind of go, huh? That doesn't even make sense. But what she's saying is, I am now able to minister to people with an assurance that God is able to heal your broken heart, because I was broken, I was completely crushed, I had a lot of rocks around me, but through the process of time, God used the word, and I am totally free from it. I still see the scars, I still know about the scars, but the pain that the scars left are gone, because I've gone through the process of being discipled by the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. I've got to quit, but I'm not going to yet. Hallelujah. Because verse 17, it says, man, stuff happens. You start putting the Word of God in you and stuff is going to happen. Why? First of all, because the enemy doesn't want you to get it. And you have to come to the understanding that you actually like the way things are. There's part of you that's comfortable in your dysfunction. Why? Because your dysfunction is normal. This is the way I see it. And we're all like that. This is the way I see it. This is the truth. But it's not the truth. But when you open yourself up to the Holy Spirit, say, what is the truth? Examine my heart. And Lord, whatever you point out, I'm going to do what's necessary on my part so that you can do your part. Yes. What do you mean I can't feel sorry for myself anymore? What do you mean I can't blame those who did something to me for my future anymore? What do you mean? I mean that they're not more powerful than I am, but I need to be working in you so that we can leave them behind. Verse 16 or 17. No, let's go to 18. And these are the ones who are sown among thorns, they that hear the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things choke the word and becomes unfruitful. I think we live a lot in this verse. Right? We got the bills paying. We got people doing stuff. We got, you know, things. We got trouble. We got stuff going on. And rather than staying in, you know, I'm not talking about that we can just isolate ourselves from that. But in the midst of that, we can go to the secret place with the Holy Spirit and say, oh, Holy Spirit, what do you think? We got this? All right, we got this. Right? And so what you have to do is you have to choke out the other things instead of letting the other things choke out the word. Come on. Sunday school years ago, we used to sing a song, God is bigger than the boogeyman. Right? God is bigger than the boogeyman, right? But look at some of those little songs we need to bring back into our thinking. Why? Because we have to get to the place where we're allowing the Spirit of God to reveal the Word of God and changing our hearts to line up with the Word of God so that the Word of God is not being choked out, but the other things are being choked out by our discipleship to the Word of God in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Oh, glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Whew. Verse 20, and then we'll close. But these are the ones sown on good ground, who hear the word, accept it. What does that mean? That means the word of God is taking the final authority in my life. No matter what it looks like, no matter whether it's fair or not, it doesn't matter. The word is the first place. I accept it. I receive it. I take it in. The word is the word is the word is the word is the word. Come on. These are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. How is your fruit? Do you have the fruit of the Spirit living in your life or not? And I think we could all use some work. So let's go back to the garden and say, Holy Spirit, work on me. Now, just from the natural standpoint, I don't think I have as many years to live as I've lived. I might, 120, that'd be 132. But anyway, right? But and when we get to this point, and a lot of us in this room, I'm looking around, Marcy's not as old as me, but look at, we get to this point in our lives, and we go, I've done it. It's over. Who said? Come on. I've seen apple trees. It's really interesting because you go over to Eastern Washington. I've seen apple trees that are really old, but they're still producing apples. This is my goal, is to produce fruit until I become compost. Right? Come on. Come on. But the only way I'm going to produce fruit until I'm compost, if I continue my discipleship, until. Did y'all get something this morning? What are you going to do about it? Come on, what are you going to do about it? If you don't do anything, then it was a good sermon. Right? Come on. We have to go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit work on us so that fruit will be produced so that others can be blessed by us being blessed. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for each heart that's here, and I know they're here because they wanted to hear from you this morning. And Lord, I just thank you for graciously using me this morning to speak what you had on my heart. And Lord, I thank you that we have ears to hear what you're saying this morning. And just close your eyes and the last song that we sang is so powerful. Lila, come on up and let's just sing that one again. Let's just sing that one again. But as we're singing it again, I just want you to think about what the Holy Spirit has been producing in you this morning. Don't think about anything else right now. Don't think about leaving or the Seahawks, what they're going to be doing. Just or what lunch is going to be, right? Come hungry for more of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's work in you. So as we sing this song, just between you and the Holy Spirit, talk to him. Talk to him. The Holy Spirit's not an it. And more importantly, let him begin to speak to you. If you need prayer, I'd be happy to pray with you. Come on up.
I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart.